I want you to just have a quick look at verse 15, because there's one image that I want to focus on today in particular in this passage. And it's the image that's found there in verse 15, where it says, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. It's a great picture of what Christians are supposed to be like. Paul wrote this this passage from his prison cell. And you can imagine that from his prison cell, he wouldn't have been able to see the stars very clearly. Maybe a glimpse out of his window every now and then. But he probably had the vision burned into his memory. He'd probably spent many nights as a missionary camped out under the stars and on his travels. And so he would have spent many nights looking up at the stars and seeing the great wonder and the majesty of the universe, the stars shining in the universe. And that image would have been burned in his mind of the absolute brilliance of the night sky. I remember my very first trip to Burren Bore. It was back in 1990 when I'd moved to Wee Waa. And later that week, the first week that I was there, a new friend of mine took me out to Burren Bore. And on the way back, he stopped the car. And he didn't say what he was doing, but he just stopped the car and he got out. He said, "You've got to get out and look at this sky." He was about to move back to the city from Wee Waa, and he said, "I'm not going to be able to see this much more. You've got to have a look at this night sky." And it was a brilliant display. I remember it was probably one of the early times, the first times I'd really been in a pitch dark place and looking up at the night sky. Can you think of when you have been on a really black night and really taken time to look up and look at the stars? It's a great image, isn't it? Probably one that you can picture right now in your mind. It's something that city people really notice when they come out to the country, and it's something that Robin was telling me before. As a country girl, when she moved to the city, she noticed the opposite, that she couldn't see at all. But this is what Christians are supposed to be like, Paul says. We're supposed to shine like stars in the universe. Because we live in a dark world. The world in a lot of ways is very dark, isn't it? We see the conflict all around us overseas. We see many terrible things happening in our own community, our own society. We live in a very dark world. Do we shine like stars in that darkness, or do we blend in with the darkness? Are we different? Do you have what it takes to be a star? Now, I'm not talking about being someone special, being a great performer or a high flyer. But do you have what it takes to stand out from the community around us? Someone who stands out as someone who belongs to God and is being transformed to be like Jesus. See, Jesus stood out, didn't he? And so we're meant to be transformed to be like Jesus. If we're going to be transformed in this way, there's some workouts that we've got to follow. The first workout, you'll notice verse 12, there in chapter 2, he says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Notice he's not saying that you have to work hard to be saved. We cannot work hard to be saved, because salvation is a gift. It's a gift from God. Jesus died to give us the gift of forgiveness and new life. We don't work hard to be saved, but he says now that you are saved, you've got to work hard to live like someone who is saved. Now that you are saved, work hard to live like someone who has been saved. And do it, he says, with fear and trembling. So we've got to remember that God is a holy God. God is a just God, and God will punish sin. And sometimes we forget that, don't we? We fall into the trap of thinking, like so many people do, we fall into the trap of thinking that God is like my grandma. You know, grandmas will never, doesn't matter what you do, you'll get away with murder with your grandma, but they'll love you anyway. You know? And God's a bit like that. You can do anything you want, but God will just love you and accept you. It doesn't really matter what you do. When I was in Barrowdene, there was a favourite song that got sung at many funerals. And it was a song that got up my nose a bit. And it was a song that was called "Come As You Are." Now, in one way, I can see what the song is saying. Come as you are. that we come to God, we've got nothing to offer him. But it seemed to be sung in a way to say, well, there's no need to change. There's no need to be anything, to do anything, to try to be transformed. We just come in whatever way we are. But God loves us too much to let us stay as we are. He loves us too much to let us destroy our lives with sin. He's got a new life for us, and he's going to help us to live that new life. We've got to work out our salvation so that we are living that new life. We're being transformed. But at the same time as we're working out our salvation, God's at work in us. Verse 13 is a great verse, isn't it? He says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." See, there's two lots of work happening, two workouts. We are working out our salvation, and God is working in us to change us, to transform us, to will and to act according to his good purpose. See, that's it. Will is something that you want to do. So we've got to want to do the things that God wants us to do. And to act. We've got to act on those things. There's so many good things that God has for you to do. And we've got to transform our lives so that those good things that God wants for us to do are the things that we want to do and the things that we do, that we are doing, to will and to act according to his good purpose. And so there's two workouts going on at the same time, two things that are happening to help us to make us more like Jesus. Who's responsible for you becoming more like Jesus? Is it God's responsibility or is it your responsibility? The answer is yes, both. It's God and you. God, you are to work out your salvation, and God is at work in you to change you, to transform you. And that's what it means to be a disciple, doesn't it? To be transforming our lives so that we are becoming more and more like Jesus, and we'll see God doing that, so that we'll stand out in the darkness. We need to work hard at making those changes. And Paul goes on to make it clear that we need to change our attitudes and our actions to help us to be these people that God has called us to be. So verse 14, the verse that Julie referred to before, "Do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of truth, word of life." See, first of all, we've got to change our attitude, the complaining and arguing about everything. See, last week we saw that God wants us to stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. Unity in our witness to our world is very important. And unity can take a lot of careful effort and hard work over a long time to build up. But unity can be destroyed very quickly and easily. Complaining and arguing are like a fast-spreading cancer when it comes to unity. It tends to polarize and divide groups of Christians. It's destructive, not constructive. And so it's focusing on negative things instead of the positive changes that we need to make. So Paul says, don't complain and argue all the time, but instead be focused on the goal that God has for our lives. What's the goal? Verse 15. Three things, so that you may become, first of all, blameless and pure. Now, didn't we talk about this a few weeks ago? We talked about being blameless and pure, and I think asked people to put their hand up if they were blameless and pure, and a few people didn't want to. Lots of people didn't want to. But remember, we saw that it's not us being perfect, us trying to work up our own perfection, that makes us blameless and pure, but it's God's forgiveness that makes us blameless and pure. God, remember we saw that verse from Psalm 103. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far God has removed our sins from us. And so God says, you are blameless and pure in his sight because he's forgiven you. So put your hand up if you are blameless and pure. Yeah, lots of people. Excellent. Good stuff. Because God has made you to be that. Not because you are in yourself, but because God has made you to be there. And so now it says, so that you may become, to do this workout, so that you may become blameless and pure. In other words, Paul is saying, God has already said you are blameless and pure, so be it. Do it. Be blameless and pure. Make that your aim in life. Live up to it. When I joined the army, I was very surprised. I went for a couple of interviews and a couple of tests, and then on one day I went for another interview in Sydney, and I thought I was going home straight after that interview, but they said, "Now, can you hang around for a couple of hours because we're going to make you a captain in the Australian Army." And I said, "What? I haven't done anything. I haven't done any training. I haven't done anything to make myself a captain in the Army." They said, "No. They commissioned me as a captain, and then they said, now, go and live like a captain. Be a captain. They made me a captain. Now go and live like that." And that's what God has done for us. God said, "You are blameless and pure in my sight. Now go and live like it. Go and be it. Stand out and look different." You will look different, won't you? If you are blameless and pure in God's eyes, you will look different to people around you. But you'll look different too if you're the next one. The second thing in that verse, he says, so that you may become children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. We do live in a crooked and depraved generation. Paul was writing to his generation. And we've seen in every generation that people turn their backs on God and they forget God and they don't care about him at all. And it leads to so much sin in the world and problems. And we live in a crooked and depraved generation. But Paul's saying you've got to have a recognisable relationship with God. You've got to be children of God in that generation, in that sort of a generation. See, it's not talking about being good. Lots of people can be good. And there are probably plenty of people in the community who are more moral than you and me. There's lots of good moral people in our community. That's not what Paul's talking about. He's talking about having a relationship with God, being a child of God in this crooked and depraved generation. What should stand out to others is not your goodness, but your relationship with God. Both those things together, actually. That you are forgiven and you are free of guilt because you are his children. And the third thing there is the one that we've talked about, shining like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. See, the focus there is on what we have to offer people. What God's word offers us is life, not death. We are not chained by our fear of death, but we have a great message of life and eternal life beyond the grave to offer to people. So as we hold out the word of life, we will shine like stars in a dark world, which is chained by death. We are living for eternity, and that should be obvious to others so that they can see the difference. That's God's plan for your life, that you will be people who stand out because you're pure and blameless, because you're his children, and because you've got a great message, the word of life. And he goes on to tell us about two great examples of this. There's a bloke in verse 19 called Timothy, great name, and we'll read a bit about him, a few verses there. He says, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel." Timothy is a humble servant, isn't he? He's one who, he doesn't care about his own interests. He's not focused on himself and what might bring him pleasure or purpose. He's focused on what Jesus Christ is focused on. It's all about living for Jesus, for Timothy. You notice back in, if you've got your Bibles open, back in verse 4, Chapter 2, verse 4, Paul has said, "Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." And in verse 20, he says, "Here is Timothy who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone else looks out for his own interests, but you know that Timothy has proved himself." He's proved himself as a son with Paul, a son with his father. "He has served with me in the work of the gospel." You know, the sons take on their father's trade back in those days. And Timothy's been like a son to Paul. He's taken on the trade, the hard work, the service of the gospel. And so Timothy has focused his life on the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's a great example of someone whose life has been transformed and now he shines like a star in the universe. And the second one's another bloke with a funny name, Epaphroditus. And Epaphroditus also, let's look at him in verse 25. He says, "But I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, and he almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him so that you may see him again, and you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honour men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me." See, Epaphroditus, Paul has a close relationship with him. He says he's like a brother to me, a fellow worker, a fellow soldier, serving side by side with Paul. He said he almost died, in fact, in serving me and serving the gospel. He risked his life. Now, this week we're coming up to Remembrance Day, the 11th of the 11th on Friday. And on Remembrance Day, we remember those who have given their lives in war for the cause of their country. But I was reminded a while ago when I was chatting with Brian about how much more we should honour those who have died in the service of the gospel. We honour those men who have died for their country. What about those who have died in the service of the gospel? Paul says you should honour men like that, who have risked their life for the sake of the gospel, put their life on the line for the sake of the gospel. These men shine like stars, Timothy and Epaphroditus. They hold out the word of life. Is that what God wants us to be? That's what Paul has said. You are to shine like stars in the universe. We're to develop that sort of character that God wants in us, where we're not to blame for causing problems. We're not to blame for divisions in the church. We're not to blame for breaking down relationships. We're not to blame for giving God a bad reputation. Does that happen? Do Christians give God a bad reputation? You betcha. You know, I hear a lot, and it's often just said as an excuse. But people will say to me, "Oh, yeah, I know some of those people who go to your church, but you know, you see them on Sunday, but you should see what I see them do during the rest of the week." And they say, if that's what Christianity's like, I don't want a bar of it. Now, sometimes that's just an excuse, and it's a weak excuse, but it's often very true. It can be very true that people will look at our reputation, and what they think about us will determine what they think about God and the church. So if you are a divisive, complaining troublemaker at work, then your colleagues will avoid church like the plague, won't they? If in your neighbourhood you're a gossiping, backstabbing, common enemy number one, then God's reputation suffers. On the other hand, if you are caring for others, serving others before your own interests, loving them like God loves you, your reputation will enhance the gospel and it will attract people to a relationship with God. You'll be shining like stars in a dark world. You'll be children of God in a crooked and depraved generation. See, God has a plan for us, doesn't he? He wants to shape us and to mould us to be more like his son, Jesus. Now, sometimes we don't want to be changed. We forget that God's the potter and we're the clay, that he's moulding us, and we want to be the potter. We want to set things. Have you heard lines like this? "I don't care what other people think about me. This is what I'm like. I'm not going to change for anyone. They have to take me as they find me." Well, people often hide behind attitudes like this to avoid the sort of changes that God wants us to make. But we need to be ready to be moulded by God, to be shaped like him. We've got to be ready to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, because God is at work in us. Now, on the bottom of your white sheets there, has a question and a couple of points there. The question says, what do I have to do to focus in what do I have to focus on in order to be transformed to be more like Christ, to be more like Jesus? And there's two things, attitudes and actions. What I'm going to do is give you a moment now, a minute to think quietly to yourself. What attitudes and actions do I need to transform for me to be more like Jesus? And write down something if you want to, or just think about it. Pray about it in your own mind, in your own heart before God, and ask Him to help you transform those things. So take a moment in quietness. What do I have to focus on in order to be transformed to be more like Jesus? An attitude or an action? Let's do that, and then I'll close in prayer in a minute. Let's pray. Lord God, if we're honest with ourselves, we realize that there are lots of attitudes and actions that we need to change, that we need to transform, so that we are more like your Son, Jesus. Lord, we can't believe that you have chosen us to be your representatives here on earth. We feel sometimes so inadequate for the task. But Lord, we thank you that you are working in us, and we pray that you would help us to work hard to work out our salvation in fear and trembling, so that as you work in us, we will and act according to your good purpose. Father, please help us as we do this. Please help us to make those changes that we've thought about today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.